I've always gotten a ton of UTIs. Cranberry products never worked for me, and I was desperate for a way to be proactive. I'm Jenna Ryan, CEO and founder of Eucora. At Eucora, we've worked with doctors to develop effective urinary tract health products. Just mix a packet of Eucora with water and drink it when you need support, like right after intimacy. Eucora is helping over 60,000 women stay healthy. Ready to join them? Get 30% off your first order at eucora.com/radio. That's eucora.com/radio.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball.
Stallings heading to the plate. Schwarber throws all the way to the plate. They got a play. He's going to be out at the plate. What a throw by Schwarber.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSER and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we have a packed Tuesday show for you, talking Cubs and Sox and Blackhawks and NBA and everything else. Sahadev Sharma, the Cubs beat reporter for The Athletic, who wrote about Chris Bryant's promise to his baby son that he would hit a home run and how he fulfilled that. Sahadev joins us at 10 o'clock, midday, midway at 10:40. Ben Pope of the Blackhawks beat for the Sun-Times at 11. And then at 11:40, Gabe Polsky, the Chicago-based documentarian, he's got a new movie that is out that is absolutely insane. And it's a hockey documentary about a team shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union and when some Americans decided to purchase a hockey team and how they, a lot of them, people involved ended up dead because they were killed by the Russian mob. But it is a, you're not going to believe some of the details from this story. It's called Red Penguins, and it he's going to tell us all about it coming up at 11:40. It's getting terrific reviews. I'm just reading right now what Richard Roper is writing about it. So Look forward to talking to him about that. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com, and that's where you go to listen to us live, because we are streaming at 670thescore.com. We can get your texts at the text zone. That's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text 312-644-6767, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. My personal feed is at Dan_Bernstein. And there's also the radio.com app that you must download. And that is, even, you know, when you're in your car, no matter where you are, that app allows you DVR-like controls to control your listening experience. There's the rewind feature and everything else. And that way you can stream it on your mobile devices. Also, you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And we have something new that's going on, and it's called Twitch. And if you are a youngster and you watch video gamers play their video games, you might be familiar with the Twitch platform. Well, this show is one of the pioneering Entercom sports radio shows that is providing content on Twitch. So you can watch us via this camera right here. Hello. Hi. It is twitch.tv at Chicago670thescore. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And I'm told it is a lively conversation that occurs concurrently with the video, and there are emotes that are involved as well. That is a sort of a cooler version of emojis that are used in the Twitch conversation. So go ahead and join there, and you can interact multiply on our all of our platforms and modalities that can bring you this awesome content. Our producer is Jay Zawoski. He and Ray Diaz, the executioner, the man on the board doing what they do. Brian Gertsch is in charge of the video production as we do all this. A lot of people in a lot of different places all working together to bring you what this is. So the Cubs at 8-2 are now 3 games clear in the NL Central. That is the biggest lead of any division leader right now. And it's the equivalent, let's do our multiple factors here, it's times 2.7, so what, they're roughly, what, 21-5? That's their start right now? That's the equivalent of a 21-5 start? Pretty good, right? That's not too bad. And I don't know how some of these unmade-up games are going to factor into everything. And every year, when I start looking at whether it's Baseball Prospectus or FanGraphs and look at their projections and playoff odds and all that, and everybody gets so mad about it. It can change overnight, and why do you even bother? This stuff, one bad week, it changes everything. Well, think about it now in a 60-game season, because nothing matters. And nothing we know about the team now really matters. Nor does it matter how good anybody is, as long as they're healthy and playing well, and whatever is happening in front of us is happening in front of us. But take, for example, the White Sox at 6-4 in the AL Central at the moment have an 81.3% chance of making the expanded playoffs. They have a 17.3% chance of winning the division, a 36.1% chance of being second in the division, and a 27.8% chance of winning the wild card. Their World Series win percentage for the White Sox, 3.3%. Meanwhile, the Cubs at 8-2, with the Reds in second place at 5-5. And how about both teams helping each other? You have the one team beating the Royals, the other team beating up on the Brewers. The Cubs have a 57.1% chance right now of winning the division, and a 92% chance of making the playoffs. They have the best World Series win percentage of anybody in the NL Central at 5.1%. How about it, right? Why not? This is, of all years, you might as well go off and have your terrific start. And Alec Mills, that's something. You know, I don't know if the nickname was it the Little Professor that they were talking about? The idea that he was sort of this, you know, maybe having Hendricks around, what, being able to watch Kyle Hendricks, and he throws harder than Hendricks, but he's very smart with his arsenal. He's got a really good rhythm when he gets it and throws it the way he does. And that was one of those wind blowing in games when you're really able to use the park and use what plays like a really big park. I also, and you saw it early in the game, and this is something that as in on days when the wind has been blowing in, and they do that, the advanced fluid dynamics modeling that we talked about when we had Brett Jackson on. Do you notice the wind shadow that left field video board gives you, it's extreme. Like left of the video board at one point when they showed, I think it was coming in at 9 miles an hour. Then it was by the video board with that blocking the indraft, it was only 3 miles an hour against. And then just to the right of it towards center field, it was 11 miles an hour blowing in. So that was providing, that video board provides a pretty significant wind shadow. That's probably what allowed Chris Bryant's home run to get out. I don't know. I haven't seen like the long view exactly how it sort of squared up there. But from what I could tell, that seems like right where he hit it. And you actually see in their fluid dynamic model the difference that that makes. Meanwhile, Carlos Rodon is having his shoulder examined. And in the short results of that is not good, because orthopedists will tell you when it comes to some of these pitching injuries and histories, once the shoulder's bad, it can be maintained, but it can't be fixed. An elbow can be fixed. Tommy John surgery can just pop the new one in. You can, the ulnar collateral ligament goes, you fashion a new ulnar collateral ligament, you tie it off, and you're fine after rehab. I don't want to minimize the seriousness of Tommy John surgery. It's still a big deal, but it's, they have it down. They know the process. A shoulder is an incredibly complicated joint, and there's so many muscles. The rotator cuff itself is four different muscles. It's even before you get into the actual talking about the joint capsule and the labrum and everything else. And once they start in on the labrum and start shaving down the edges that can pop up on the cartilage there, it's just shoulders bad. And you look at somebody like John Danks, who had to completely reinvent himself as a pitcher just to keep his career going once the shoulder started to go, and was able to hang on for a while. But you know, the velocity dips, it changes everything you do. I'm concerned about Rodon. But again, it does. So you Russ Detweiler's been getting everybody out. You plug him in. Do you have? I mean, Dane Dunning. You're already down Kopech. But if the Sox are going to score 6-7 runs a game, I'm not even sure it's going to matter. You know, at this point, you're going to have the opportunity to take advantage of this start. You got a lineup that you notice how many times you have to flip back? Like the flipping last night, that was our first test of our ability on the remote to go from when the Hawks game was starting and you got Cubs and Sox with high leverage moments. I was rusty in my flipping game. I needed to remember the rhythm of doing that. And the White Sox are making it so hard now because there's so many guys you can't miss. So many plate appearances you absolutely just, you have to see. So, you know, there was a lot going on. We took in a lot, and then the Blackhawks hockey having us having some late nights here. But I'll tell you, Alec Mills is an intriguing find, and I'm not sure if that's a product of pitching infrastructure / pitch lab. But either way, if he's able to upset timing in that regard, that is that's a boon for this tremendous rotation so far. Chatwood's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Darvish's numbers are better than you think. Hendricks is Hendricks, and then you got this guy. And this is with Quintana out. Well, David Ross was asked after the Cubs beat the Royals 2-0 last night about Alec Mills and how he keeps hitters off balance.
I think it's the mix, and he knows how to pitch. You're really seeing a guy that can execute a game plan. You see a guy that changed speeds. He's not afraid to throw any pitch in any count. He's got huge poise out there for such a young pitcher, and we've known that about him for a while. You can see that every time he takes the bump, just nothing really phases him. We talked about his last start and dealing with not really being able to face live hitters from another team in that environment, and he went out and handled it great. Again tonight, phenomenal performance by him, going through a lineup, you know, that many times, and really not too many hard hit balls at all. I know they scattered some hits out there, but did a really good job of keeping them off balance.
How much do you factor in the fact that he's pitched two exceptional games without much run support, that he still seems to be the same pitcher?
I credit that to his personality. I mean, he just is that type of person, that steady heartbeat that he has that just doesn't really waver. He's not an emotional guy, just seems to to lock in the moment and continue to do his game. I think he just really has a great self-awareness of who he is and how he's supposed to pitch. And it's pretty evident every time he steps out there on the bump that he knows what kind of pitcher he is and what he wants to do.
Rossi, I think he was at 89 pitches after six. Was there any hesitation to send him back out, or you knew he was the guy for the seventh?
Yes, there was hesitation.
What went into the decision to send him back out then?
Just not a lot of solid contact, having some insurance on the backside. You know, I had Winkler there if we needed him, kind of the security blanket. And then just kind of, we really liked him against Franco, I think was the first batter. And then it was kind of batter to batter after that.
David, I know you've called him a bullpen saver before, but after 11 run game the night before, what did him finishing seven mean tonight?
Yeah, he's just a good pitcher. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not trying to take away from his first performance by saying he's a bullpen saver. We really needed that. I think he just goes out and pitches his game and stays true to who he is and knows himself, like I said. So it's fun to watch him pitch.
He's just a good pitcher. Leave it at that. And they're getting much better receiving from Wilson Contreras, and I think it's making a huge difference for everybody. I really do. I can't measure that metrically for you, but it's clear that there are some strikes being grabbed around the edges, and there is a steadiness to the reception of pitches that is making this whole staff better. I want to clarify something too. When I talked about the fluid dynamic model and the wind shadow that the video board is providing, I mischaracterized the numbers that are up there. It's not miles per hour, that's feet lost. That is, and thanks to a couple texters for pointing that out, that is the number of feet on a fly ball plus or minus that the wind is either impeding or helping. So Alec Mills has been a bit of a revelation so far, and they felt that they could just stick with him on a night when they were not barreling him up at all. On the other side of town, Rick Renteria has issues with his starting staff, and they're going to have to find a replacement very likely for Carlos Rodon. We should know more. Probably by the end of the show, we should have some results of some diagnostics, I would hope. But Rick Renteria talked about when he noticed there might be something wrong with Carlos Rodon.
We were looking at him from the first inning. He was, you know, kind of fidgeting quite a bit. He came in, went right in, didn't complain about anything. He went back out. Obviously, his velocities were down a little bit. Well, not a little bit, enough. He came in, and we were already talking about it. And once he came in, he just said he was feeling a little something in his neck. You know, the ball wasn't coming out of his hand right, which is what we could see, and we were already preparing to make a change at that point because we saw what it looked like, and then we had him checked out. And so right now he's got a little shoulder soreness, and they'll evaluate him tomorrow, and then we'll see where we're at.
Bruce?
How concerned are you about his viability for the next few, and I know you have to wait for tests to be done, but you've seen these before. Yeah. So,
Bruce, I'm not going to speculate because I really don't know what's actually going on. So for me to speculate, long or short of it, we'll wait to see what they tell us tomorrow, and then we'll have something for you guys then.
Rick Renteria knows that it's likely he's going to be without Carlos Rodon for a while. I found it interesting that he said that he felt something in his neck. And then when he came out, it was shoulder. And then you wonder what it could be. There were the pain that a shoulder issue where pain could radiate to the neck. I don't know enough orthopedics to speculate there, but it doesn't sound good. Speaking of sound, we have some for you in the next segment. If you missed it last night, there was a bit of a tense exchange between Mark Grace and Jim DeShays last night on the Marquee Sports Network broadcast of the Cubs game, and it's worth revisiting. I thought Grace's presence was not quite as comfortable as that of Ryan Dempster, as we've seen them try to work in some third wheels here and work in some other voices throughout on these broadcasts. It's all a work in progress, but for some reason, Grace sort of viewing on remote from Arizona didn't feel, it wasn't as comfortable a booth, a sort of virtual booth as it is with Dempster. Maybe we can figure out why. But I want you to hear discussion that Mark Grace and Jim DeShays had last night, because it's worth talking about. That's coming your way next on The Score.
This is Chicago's number one sports station, dominating Chicago sports talk for nearly three decades. 670 The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Radio.com Sports Minute, sponsored by Gold Eagle 303 Protectants and Cleaners. Keep your car looking new and lasting longer. Versatile Joel Youngblood had a knack for being in the right place at the right time. Now, for instance, despite batting 193 as a rookie with the 1976 Reds, he still garnered a World Series ring. On this date some 38 years ago, Youngblood was in the right place twice in one day. He became the first and only major leaguer to play in two games in two cities for two different teams and collect hits for both of them, and it came against Hall of Fame pitchers. He started in center field for the Mets at Wrigley Field and singled off Ferguson Jenkins. During the third inning, he was traded to Montreal. Youngblood took his bats and flew to Philadelphia, where that night he pinch hit a seventh inning single off of Steve Carlton. Now that's what I call quite a day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Napa know-how. At Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, get a $25 prepaid Visa card when you get any Napa automotive battery. It's the best deal for some of the best batteries from some of the best car people around. But we might be a little partial. Anywho, pick up any Napa automotive battery and save $25. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, while supplies last, offer ends 8/31/20.
Feed your happy at Champaign Area Hardee's with a Western Bacon Cheeseburger for just $1.50 every Wednesday. Make it spicy with pepper jack cheese and jalapenos for only 50 cents more. Offer good at participating Champaign Area locations through August 19th. Tax not included. One order per guest. Limit four single cheeseburgers per order.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
Well, one thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
I've always gotten a ton of UTIs. Cranberry products never worked for me, and I was desperate for a way to be proactive. I'm Jenna Ryan, CEO and founder of Eucora. At Eucora, we've worked with doctors to develop effective urinary tract health products. Just mix a packet of Eucora with water and drink it when you need support, like right after intimacy. Eucora is helping over 60,000 women stay healthy. Ready to join them? Get 30% off your first order at eucora.com/radio. That's eucora.com/radio.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Russ Dorsey covers baseball for MLB.com.
We talk about Sammy Sosa now. That dude was on top of the world. That was the king of the Dominican. And even he had to succumb to that pressure of, is dark beautiful? And as we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, the answer to that was no to him. And it's just like, you have to consider what deeply rooted things and issues have been a big part of Dominican culture that Sammy grew up with.
Yeah, and that's why when you see, I think he had at some point even admitted to doing some skin lightening. He is by no means alone. And by the way, this isn't something that just happens in Caribbean countries. This is something that's happening in Asia as well, where everyone is trying to get lighter.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
When it comes to flooring options for the pro, no one covers floors better than the Home Depot. With over 300,000 flooring supplies online and in-store, plus in-demand styles, from modern mosaics to waterproof vinyl and laminates, we buy more than anyone else, so you'll save more than anywhere else, with everyday low prices and even bigger savings when you purchase by the pallet. The pro's best option when it comes to flooring. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only.
Thanks for streaming The Score. McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score. Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
We figured we'd go down there into my basement, and that wallpaper is the play call sheets from the 2018 season. It was a perfect time during the draft to do that, and there was more space. But right now, all they're getting is the backdrop of my office that I'm in my home office.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I'm glad to say and to hear that he's healthy and he's safe. And we learned during the game today, late in the game, that he's decided to opt out of the remainder of the season for COVID-related reasons. When we showed up to the ballpark this morning, he was not here. He was not on site. We weren't aware of why. We were able to send a security team to the hotel, and then ultimately learned later that he was healthy. He was not in any danger, and then ultimately has made the decision to opt out of the season.
Brody Van Wagenen, the general manager of the New York Mets, and that was after they sent out an organizational press release saying that he was AWOL, whereabouts unknown. Not sure why they did that. Either you were doing it before you knew he was safe, or you knew he was safe and you're doing it to shame him for some reason. It's all very strange, but he's decided that he didn't want to play, which is obviously fine. So last night on the Cubs broadcast on Marquee Network, Mark Grace popped in, and he's just appeared apparently from his house in Arizona with his mandatory coat and tie on, and was a part of the broadcast for like six innings. I thought the guys were just going to jump in, check in, nod, and then peace out, and that'd let him get on with the broadcast. But he was there the entire time, and it must not be easy. It's already difficult enough for Len to quarterback that thing just with JD himself when they're trying to handle all of the strangeness of the remote broadcasting this season. But then to have somebody else who's just sort of there but not there and weighing in, it got a little weird when Jim DeShays and Mark Grace, they differed on their opinions of guys who opt out due to concerns about COVID-19.
If certain players, particularly veteran guys, are on a team that's out of it in 2 weeks, might that push them toward opting out with a month to go?
Yeah, I don't know what the threshold of the pain tolerance is of a veteran player in terms of the risk of the virus. If you're on a bad team, if you're having a bad year, I could see some guys getting frustrated, getting to the point, is it even worth it, putting myself at risk? If I'm hitting .120 and I'm on a team that has no chance of making this postseason tournament, I could definitely see guys especially guys that have made a bunch of money in their careers, opting out.
1-1 on Rizzo.
They would lose a lot of my respect if they did that.
Yeah, well, yes and no, though, right? I mean, because they're taking on a certain amount of risk just by playing, right? Putting, you know, I guess it depends on what goes on with the virus. If it seems like it's under control and it's not that big of an issue, then I'm with you. If the cases were to continue to spike around the league, and all of a sudden I start to think, well, I've got a baby at home, and this team has 15 cases, and this team has 13 cases, and we're going to go play this team next week, that might influence my thinking a little bit. But, you know, Gracie, your point is a good one, because that's exactly, I think, what happened with Nick Markakis. He opted out, and then after sitting home for a while thinking about it, he felt like he was quitting on his teammates, so he came back.
Yeah, and I was saying, and you made a good point too, JD. Yeah, if there's a bunch of cases going around and you're going someplace like Miami or something, I would get that. But just to opt out because you're having a bad year, that's more what I was talking about.
Yeah, and using the pandemic kind of as an excuse.
Yep. Right.
You know, whereas if you were hitting 330 and you say, no, man, I'm good.
Exactly.
Virus, what virus?
I'm going to keep playing, exactly.
All right, a couple things here. Let's deal with the subject of the specific conversation first. There is no shame in opting out. And if you say, well, you lose a lot of my respect, these decisions that are made by individuals as to what risk they want to incur when a virus is unchecked and running rampant with no cure, no vaccine, that is completely up to you. If you want to play or not play, you want to work from home, whatever decision you make for your health and your family's health, or what you feel is your responsibility to public health, that is completely there. That is on you, regardless of any old macho BS about the team and the team and the team. That this is all superseded by the idea of your health, your family's health, and your responsibility to public health. No question, full stop. To say you'd lose a lot of my respect. The point that Jim Deshaies was trying to make, and did make, I should say, give him credit for it, is that even if you do feel that pull, feel that responsibility to your team, his point is when the fight is essentially over, when you're out of it, when you're like, look, we gave this a shot. It's not our year. It just changes the balance a little bit. Do you know how difficult it is for so many of these players to make up their minds? Do you know how difficult it is for whether it's NFL or the hockey players, college football? Can you even imagine? We'll get to that a little bit later, because I can't imagine college football, frankly. His point was, once you said, look, I will do this for the team, I will risk my health, I will risk the health of my family and anybody who may also have comorbidities or be immunocompromised, that if you say, look, we tried it, this isn't happening for us this year, now it's time to shut it down. All it does is every day people are making that assessment. And the point of Markakis opting out and then opting in, saying that it's all fluid. Everything can change. Anything can change. And it could be any day they could do that. I mean, sort of that old school, you know, and the Grace kind of moved the goalpost on that, where he was saying, well, maybe guys, just because they're playing badly, are then going to opt out. The discussion changed a bit, but I'm really glad that Deshaies pushed back on it, because they sort of changed what they were talking about. It went from guys opting out because the team goals weren't accomplished to guys opting out because individually they were having a bad season. So it the discussion got a little bit mixed up there. But I just don't think it's right for anybody in sports or any industry right now to say, if somebody has the option of playing and can say, I'm gonna make the money or I'm not gonna make the money, that is regardless of team affiliation and how any of this works and with the standards to which we hold guys, well, we're in this together, we're all trying to win a World Series here. The context of everything else that's going on is so much bigger than that, and because we don't even know the overall effects of what the virus does. Even people who are asymptomatic or even people who have mild symptoms, we don't know what it does. There's already been a baseball player this year who had heart damage because he had a mild case of coronavirus, but his heart didn't recover, and they don't want him playing baseball anymore. So that's one aspect of it, the actual subject of the discussion. The other is whether or not we need to have extra marquee personalities sort of glomming onto these broadcasts or flying in to just appear there and, oh, look, here's so-and-so. Let's welcome him in. I haven't minded the for whatever reason, Ryan Dempster has been sort of a less intrusive presence than Mark Grace was, where it appeared that they had to sort of stake out territory for him. I don't mind them going to a reporter every once in a while, where they're going to Taylor McGregor and here's what's going on over here, or here's what we know here. That I'm used to that rhythm. I don't, just personally as a viewer, I don't need the third wheel. I like Len and JD with each other. I like the way they interact. I like the rhythm of the broadcast. I like the way that all sounds, especially for those of us who are, if you're turning your back, if you're doing dishes or if you're cooking dinner and you're like, wait, who's that again? And wait, what's what? It just sort of, it interrupts things. And like I say, the rhythm of the flipping game to go by who's talking when, where am I on this? And I'm pushing this button and setting up, you know, this. I don't know if I have to go to that, like, DirecTV list thing where I set up. That's a rare chance to do it. And I used to be able to program my kid, you know, when he was younger, and he'd really be, hey, I'm going to make you the special assistant for being in charge of the remote. Really, Dad? Oh, that's so cool. And I was like, he's watching golf instructional videos with his headphones on one ear anyway, and that's the joy of being the personal sports watching assistant has dissipated rather quickly. So you do it. I don't want to do it. Okay, fine. And I got to get back in that rhythm of going from baseball to the hockey game. And like I say, makes it the White Sox make the TV experience more difficult now when you're trying to keep tabs on the Cubs, because there isn't a time like, oh, it's these three guys in the order. I don't need to watch a Daniel Palka at bat right now. You can't do that now, because every inning there's somebody you feel you have to see. And if Luis Robert is then on base, you don't want to flip away because you never know what's going to happen, because you want to watch absolutely everything that guy does all the time, because he's unbelievably telegenic and compelling and wonderful. So you tend to stay there. I also am enjoying how Jason Benetti and Steve Stone are interacting with each other. There's a whimsy to that broadcast. There's an understanding that they don't take baseball that seriously, even though it sounds professional and they're excited and happy and interested in what's going on. I like there's an undercurrent of whimsy, and Benetti always sprinkles in references here. I think I probably miss half of them, but there's always notes here or there. I think he made reference to, like, there was Hey Nicky, which is like, it's like a Nicki Minaj reference or something. I wasn't exactly sure what that was, but I need an annotated Benetti at some point to try to keep up with that broadcast. But then you flip to hockey, and hockey is compelling, and there aren't stoppages enough, so it's hard to flip away from hockey because you want to watch all the sequences, and it goes this way, and it goes that way, and they don't give you a cue, like, in between pitches or in between innings, so it's always hard to know. And I had a streak of flipping away from goals for a while. Meanwhile, Connor McDavid, what was like 17 seconds in? That dude, my God, how did they stop him in the first game? Seriously, was he not trying in the first game? I mean, that was that both of those initial goals. I mean, the first one kind of just found his stick and he flipped it in over his shoulder, but the second one, when he just knifed right through everybody and roofed it, and I'm thinking, that's an NHL player. Like, you see that in youth hockey or high school hockey or in, you know, peewees or whatever it is, that you see the one kid that's way better than everybody else. But those are NHL players. He was going right through. Damn, son. Let's talk some hockey. Jay Zawoski will weigh in with what he thought last night. He had a long night last night because Jay watched the whole game. and then stayed up after the game to do the Madhouse podcast. He's doing all these special playoff broadcasts, so he's going on just a couple hours sleep. So it should be fun to talk to him, get his opinions on where the Blackhawks stand with that playoff series. They're in the playoffs. This is a playoff series. Weird. And they're tied 1-1. We'll discuss that next on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Steve Stone.
They have to learn how to win together. And part of the maturation of a baseball team is coming together, winning some tough games, coming out on top as a club, and having the ball club start to believe in itself. It's one thing to have confidence. It's another thing to get it done in key situations, and the confidence just builds.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
This segment is brought to you by Northern Illinois Food Bank.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're looking to find some money, you can start by paying less interest on your credit card balances by refinancing with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You say, well, how does that save me money? Well, do the math here, because the average interest rate on credit card debt right now is over 19% APR. Well, LightStream is offering a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. So that's where your savings is in the huge difference between those two numbers. You can save hundreds. You could even save thousands of dollars depending on the size of your debt. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. So you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, and that could be today. Here's what one very satisfied customer said. I heard about LightStream on the radio. I filled out the forms in about an hour. The longest part was adding up all my credit card debt and figuring out what my loan amount and loan period should be. But I was approved in less than 24 hours, and I haven't had to think about it since due to the immediate auto pay setup. You could be that happy as well. And because you're listening, you get this bonus of an additional interest rate discount. And the only way to get this discount is by going to lightstream.com/Dan B. It's LightStream.com/Dan B.
Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Dan B for more information.
Feed your happy at Champaign Area Hardee's with a Western Bacon Cheeseburger for just $1.50 every Wednesday. Make it spicy with pepper jack cheese and jalapenos for only 50 cents more. Offer good at participating Champaign Area locations through August 19th. Tax not included, one order per guest. Limit 4 single cheeseburgers per order.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall.
Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Chicago Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy on his experience having COVID-19.
I got crushed and, did have to go to the hospital for a little bit of time to get checked up and do all the breathing treatments. And to be honest with you, just so people understand, it took me 30 days to test negative. 30 days. And going into a baseball season and understanding in a 60-game season what 30 days means, I mean, if it hadn't happened to me now, and I had the same effects and the same reaction to the virus, I would probably have missed the majority of the season.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
New home ownership can be a real eye-opener, but it's the perfect time to look into Homeowner 101 from The Home Depot. Free live streaming workshops taught by expert associates, now at homedepot.com/workshops. You'll find indoor and outdoor workshops, even home systems workshops. Plus, you'll get the know-how you need to care for your biggest investment. Master the basics at Homeowner 101, only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Register now at homedepot.com/workshops.
Best radio stations in America live on radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative.
Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
This is the sound of a Blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a Blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
My name is Noah Feldman. I'm the host of a new podcast called Deep Background. I'm a Harvard Law professor and a Bloomberg columnist. I testified at the House impeachment hearings. So I both study the news and have, on occasion, even contributed to making it. In each episode of Deep Background, I interview an expert or a policymaker to explore the historical, scientific, legal, or cultural context behind the headlines. You can find Deep Background on radio.com or wherever you like to listen.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
They clear it around. Here's Nugent Hopkins, who's passed, deflected, they score! Think that might have hit a Blackhawk stick, and we'll see, but the Oilers come through the power play, and they're back in front.
McDavid should get credit for it, and yes, it will be the third of the night.
The clock winding down here in Game 2. The winning team in each of the first two games of this series put six on the board. And now it's a best two out of three series between the Blackhawks and the Oilers, who were a much different team tonight.
Not the start we wanted, without question. So you have a chance to maybe continue the frustration that they may have been feeling going into the game. And right away, they're feeling good and feeling they're turning it around, and their top players feeling confident, and then it's an uphill battle. And again, I thought some of our guys were really good, and they allowed us to stay in the game, but not enough of them.
Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colliton after the 6-3 defeat last night in Edmonton in the NHL playoff bubble. The Oilers evening the series at one game apiece. That was NBC Sportsnet with the highlights, and our executive producer, Jay Zawoski, who is also the co-host of the Madhouse podcast, joins us now with thoughts on all the stuff that didn't go as right as it did in the first game. The easy narrative, Jay, is just that the better team woke up after kind of getting punched in the mouth, but it played out more differently than perhaps the final score indicated.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Cowan said it well when he said, it's not the start we wanted. Yes, being down 2-0 4 minutes into the game is not an ideal start, JC. Thank you for the analysis. The game was closer than the score shows, for sure. And everything sort of goes out the window when you're down 2-0 early. It changes your entire strategy. You've got to get Patrick Kane out there more to try to catch up. You're double shifting guys who you probably plan on giving 8 or 9 minutes to. You're only giving 6 or 7 minutes to. The entire game plan is out the window. That, coupled with Corey Crawford not being at his best, coupled with some young players making some young player mistakes. And that was the result of the game. And, I don't think that Edmonton is necessarily that much better than the Hawks. I don't think it was, oh, well, now this is more of a reset to normal. For a lot of that game, the Hawks were right there. They battled back to get close. They even tied it at one point. And then all of a sudden, Edmonton pulls away. But I think that game last night was sort of the polar opposite of game one, where everything that could have gone wrong for the Hawks did. There were a lot of bad bounces, some bad hops that went against them. And in a short series, those things are crucial. And that was the difference in the game.
Well, and McDavid, just his being, being the best player on the ice. I mean, Draisaitl's awfully good too, but when McDavid is going through NHL players like that, I don't know what you can be asked to do. They contained him in the first game, and you can try to, I don't know, trap a guy out of effectiveness, but there's just too many other skilled players there that you have to account for.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. But McDavid, with him, you're not going to stop him. Like, he's going to have an impact on the series. All you can do is hope to minimize the damage. And one thing you saw Edmonton trying to do all night was get him on the ice when Olli Maatta was out there and Slater Cuckoo was out there, but especially Maatta, who is one of the slowest skating defensemen in the entire league, if not the slowest. And it showed. That second goal that McDavid scored, where he just blew past Maatta and Cuckoo, who played him perfectly. They played him right, but he's just so fast that he got past him. Not only that, in close, he's able to shift to the backhand and put a roof shot over Corey Crawford within, like, you know, he's stick handling in a phone booth. The guy is just incredible, and you're just going to have to live with those. You know, he's going to do damage. Now, what works in the Hawks' advantage coming up for games 3 and 4 is they are technically the home team, so they'll have the last change. So they'll be able to match up against McDavid much better than they were able to in games 1 and 2. And they did do a good job of containing him in game 1, but he's just otherworldly. There's only so much you can do, and hopefully the ability to dictate these line matchups will be the difference the Hawks need, and that's what makes that game 1 win so big. Now, if they can win these two where they have that line matchup advantage, maybe they can close off the series.
Mikko Koskinen is clearly the better goaltender. He's not great.
No.
But his steadiness and his the lack of variance with him, at least you know what you're probably getting each game that you don't get with Mike Smith.
That's exactly right. Koskinen's going to make the saves he's expected to make. And I know that, you know, that Mike Smith has had success against the Blackhawks in the past. That was a long time ago. That was a long time ago when Mike Smith was that guy. Koskinen needs to be the guy going forward for Edmonton. He's just the better goalie. And the game one decision was bizarre. I don't know why Edmonton chose to do that, but they fixed it and put the right guy in. But again, he's not a guy who's going to steal a series or a game for the Oilers. He's a very ordinary goalie. He's, you know, replacement level starter. And look, the Hawks showed they were able to score 3 goals. They had some other really good chances that either went wide or high or hit a post. That doesn't scare me. What scares me is number 97 for Edmonton, you know, and that's Connor McDavid, for those that don't know, Leon Draisaitl and their power play. Their power play is excellent. They scored on it again last night, but the Hawks did a much better job killing penalties than they did in game one. They only allowed one power play goal. So that's, if you're looking for a silver lining, that's probably it, that they were able to kill off most of the penalties they took.
Why do you think they were better?
It's a good question. I think they were just, well, part of it's luck. You know, they're blocking some shots. They were getting some bounces go their way. I think they were maybe a little more, they didn't lose track of McDavid. There was that one, I think it was the first power play goal in game one, where McDavid acted like he was leaving the zone, then came back in sort of undetected and scored. I think the Hawks were a lot more aware of where Connor McDavid was on the ice while they had the man advantage. They did a much better job at that. But I think short of that, I think, you know, anytime a team has a great special teams, you're just sort of holding on for dear life and trying to get the puck out of the zone. And the Hawks had better success with that than they did in game one. There were a lot of passes there that, you know, clearing attempts the Hawks made, and good ones that were just intercepted at the blue line to keep the Hawks pinned deep, to keep them, you know, tired, keep them on the ice. They're not able to change mid kill. And that makes a huge difference. That's an exhausting thing to do, to kill a penalty against a unit that's that high powered. So not being able to get the puck out of the zone in game one, they did a much better job of it in game two on the penalty kill.
Talking with Jay Zawoski about the Blackhawks 6-3 loss in game two of their playoff series with the Edmonton Oilers. Is it just me, or is Alex Nylander uniquely able to turn the puck over in dangerous areas?
He is highly skilled in that area, right? Yes. I mean, the one at center ice, I think it was the third Edmonton goal. He's just looking at his feet, trying to pick up the puck, literally at center ice, and then like, oh, there it goes. And Nylander is such a frustrating player. He was awful in the exhibition game against the Blues. He was okay in game one. You saw some things you like from him. And then in game two against the Oilers, he was terrible, just turning the puck over. And he was not alone in the turnovers, by the way. The entire team was doing it. But I've said this about Nylander before. I'm not sure he has the highest hockey IQ. He's got a lot of skill. He's obviously fast. He can stick handle. He's got a nice shot. But so often, he's making mental mistakes and bad decisions, which is strange because his father was a really good hockey player. His brother's a really good hockey player. It just, the hockey intelligence gene seemed to skip Alex Nylander. And if he can somehow find that, if he can somehow improve his situational awareness, which I don't really know, can you coach that into somebody? Can you coach instinct? I don't know if you can. The skill set's there, and that's why he's such a frustrating player. Because you look at him, you watch him stick handle, you watch him in exhibitions, you watch him in practice, you're like, wow, look at the skill this guy has. And then when, you know, the puck drops on an actual game, you're banging your head off a wall watching the guy play. He's very frustrating because the talent's clearly there. I just don't think he's there in terms of instinct at all.
How would you compare him to Victor Stahlberg?
Well, they're both fast.
You know what I mean? But like that yeah. was another guy who I remember watching a wow, and you see him split defenders or something, and then you just you notice the impact on the game just isn't there.
That's a very good comparison. That's a good comparison. And Stahlberg was a guy who, you know, I think they weren't as you know, he was a 6th round pick, Victor Stahlberg. Alex Nylander's a 1st round pick. So the investment isn't there in trying to develop him. So I think they used Stahlberg more sparingly. They used him in situations where they were, you know, they protected him. There's this desire, I think, with Nylander, not only because he was a 1st round pick, but because the Hawks traded Henry Okaharu, who was their top defensive prospect, to
I'm
get
fine,
Nylander.
Thank you. How are you?
Yeah. You trade your top prospect of a defensive core that definitely needs help for Nylander. I think the Hawks now have, they sort of have to develop Nylander, or they have egg on their face for that trade. When they made it, no one understood it. Why are you trading this defensive prospect that everyone seems to agree is pretty solid? He went on in Buffalo and had a good year. Well, the Sabres couldn't wait to make that deal. They couldn't wait to be rid of Alex Nylander. Look, I understand the talent's there. I understand the skills there. I just don't know if Jeremy Calton's going to be the guy that's going to be able to unlock that from Alex Nylander. And I think you've seen now a handful of times in this return, be it the exhibition game or the 2 playoff games, where Patrick Kane is visibly upset with Alex Nylander's decisions, with his passing, with his play. I think you're not going to see those two together very often anymore. As soon as they switched Kane to the line with Doc and DeBrincat, that line started playing well. That line started generating chances. I think what the Hawks need to do for Game 3 is stack that top six. You've got Taves with Kubalik and Saad, and you've got Doc with DeBrincat and Kane, and you just roll those guys as much as you can, and you hope that Strome, Kajula, and Nylander can add something as your third line, and you just assign David Camp's line to shutting down McDavid as much as you can. I think that's the strategy, but you've got to lean on that top six to put the puck on the net for you.
I miss having Jokke Haru, because every time Pat Foley would say his name, I'd say, I'm fine, thanks, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you? I'm good, thank you. And then last night, it's Athanasiou, right?
Yep.
Well, Athanasiou too.
Now that dude is the Detroit/Edmonton equivalent of Alex Nylander. You talk about skill. He might be the fastest skater in the NHL. Legit. That guy is incredibly fast, but he has a penchant for just falling down and losing the puck as he's skating really fast.
Falls down a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but there were a couple plays where Athanasiou was showcasing his skill, but they're using him correctly. They're using him in a third line role. They're not trying to shoehorn him in there on the top six. He doesn't belong there. Neither does Alex Nylander, and I think maybe Jeremy Collin learned that lesson last night.
So if you say stack the top two lines, what do you do about what you said about Mata? Obviously being the home team in the last change helps, but if they're targeting Mata because he's slow, is there any mitigation for that?
No. There was a play, I think it was in the second period, where Mata saw McDavid heading at him. Mata literally skated forward and then turned around so he can go backwards with more momentum because he knew that he was just going to get blown by. So he's just trying to
hoping for like a slingshot effect?
Yes, he was trying to slingshot himself to catch up with McDavid. Look, I think Mata is a smart defenseman. He knows how to play. He's been big parts of 2 Stanley Cup champions in Pittsburgh. The dude knows how to play. It's just a horrible matchup for him. You just can't have him out there against Edmonton. And guess who knows that? Edmonton. They're going to try to exploit that matchup every time they can. And hopefully now, like I said, with the last change in the, air quotes, home ice advantage, the Hawks can keep that matchup as rare as possible. Because that's not going to work if that guy's out there with Mata. There's no shot.
We'll do some more hockey talk coming up at 11 with Ben Pope of the Sun-Times, covering the Blackhawks in the playoffs. But the conversation shifts back to baseball next with Sahadev Sharma. The Cubs are 8-2. They are three games clear already in the NL Central and off to the hot start that Theo Epstein has craved for the last 3 years. In the 60-game season, they finally have it, and hoping that what's going on with the Cardinals and the Marlins, etc., isn't derailing what is a promising year for the Chicago Cubs, sitting in first place. We'll talk about them next on The Score.
Blackhawks lose. They fall in Game 2 to the Oilers of this epic five-game play-in series, which is now tied at one game apiece. Keep it on The Score as we recap the loss, analyze what went wrong, and get you ready for Game 3 right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Well, that was nice seeing the guys back out on the court over the weekend, and we're excited to see what week two of the basketball restart has in store for all of us. If that's not enough excitement for you, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. You pick eight players, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There is no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of millions of dollars. And if basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings has fantasy golf action for this week's major. Get in on the action before the golfers tee off on Thursday for a shot at a $1 million top prize. Millions of dollars up for grabs this week, and no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. So download the DraftKings app now and use promo code Chicago to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code Chicago to get your shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.